Getting a flu shot is one of the most important things you can do to stay healthy this year. Flu shots are available and free to University of Alabama students at sites across campus and at the UA Student Health Center and Pharmacy. Check out our schedule at cchs.ua.edu/flu shot. Call 205-348-6262 for a flu shot appointment at the Student Health Center, or walk up Monday through Friday from 4 to 4:45 p.m.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Happy Sunday, y'all. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone, and it's Sunday.
It is Sunday, and it's the Sunday before Valentine's Day? No, Valentine's Day is Tuesday. But no, we're the week of Valentine's Day.
So
yeah.
It's technically the Sunday before Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So crazy.
It is crazy. Are you a Valentine's Day person?
I am, in the sense that I enjoy it. I enjoy that there is candy available. But as far as my husband and I, we don't necessarily make a thing of it.
Yeah.
It's not like a, Valentine's Day. I'm trying to think if we did much when we were dating. I feel like, you know, you kind of like...
Maybe you do
really
at that
try
point, yeah.
back then.
That's when you really try, yeah.
Not so much. How about you and your hubby?
Oh, man. You know, we're so anti-holidays.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, I don't really ever get into them, but... We did decide that we will not go out, we will stay in, but we will buy a big box of chocolates for us to split, because like Russell Stover's chocolates are my favorite.
Yes.
They're so good. So, yes. I mean, I wouldn't say, I'm not really into the gimmicks of Valentine's Day, because I also think about people that like don't have somebody to share it with, and I always think that that kind of is a bummer. So I don't know, I never really bring it up, but Nika, who is one of our guests that we have all the time, Nika Morgan, loves Valentine's Day.
Well, I think it's a valid one to celebrate. And I know we'll probably talk even more about Valentine's Day a little bit later in the show. But one of the things that I was noticing as I was looking up the history of Valentine's Day and all the things, there was a section that was talking about which countries Valentine's Day is the most popular in.
Oh.
And of course, you know, the U.S. as well as Britain and Canada. But... because I am Filipino, this really stuck out to me. But I saw it says, in the Philippines, it is the most common wedding anniversary, and mass weddings of hundreds of couples are not uncommon on that
really?
Date. Yeah, so I just did not realize that.
That's kind of cute, actually.
I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, just like that maybe a lot of Filipino people want to get married on Valentine's Day. I mean, it's kind of cute. And then you can celebrate your wedding anniversary and Valentine's Day at the same time. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
I do have to, in, you know, true Sheena form, I have to go down a rabbit hole for just a second.
Okay. I love a good rabbit hole.
On my way to the studio, I get a text from a friend of mine who's actually a fellow dietitian, and her name is Cindy Huggins. She's actually been a guest on our show before. And she texted me and she said, stop with that RBF face. I just saw you on the corner as I was driving down the street. And hopefully most listeners know RBF is just an acronym for insinuating that someone has a resting face that just does not look very pleasant.
Yeah.
And so that's the first time anyone has ever called me out on that.
Oh my gosh. How do you feel about this? Is it bothering you?
Kind of. But it's also, I kind of knew this about me.
I think
it's just, but I only let it happen when I don't think anybody sees me.
And you got busted.
But, yeah, apparently waiting at the pedestrian crosswalk as she drove by, she saw it. And she was like, oh my gosh, is that really Sheena? That person looks so angry.
You know, maybe she meant it as a funny thing, but also I never really think about that type of face, like having the resting bee face. But, like, how are you supposed to not have it when you're concentrating or thinking about something? Like, are you supposed to be into yourself so much that you have to, like, constantly smile? Like, that gets old.
Yeah, like you look like Bob from the Enzyte commercial where it's like...
I mean, that's kind of funny. I wondered, so he got you down, huh, Sheena?
Yes, but I think... So, I was jaywalking at the time that she probably saw me. So I think I was so concentrated on not getting hit by a car.
Well, that's legit.
Seeing law enforcement. I had my concentration.
I mean, would you get a ticket for jaywalking in Tuscaloosa? I mean, maybe New York, but have you ever gotten in trouble for that?
I've not seen it. I've known other students that have gotten a ticket on their bike, on their bicycle, when they have not followed the rules. So apparently UAPD is hardcore about that, because I did have a client that was late for her appointment at the Student Health Center with me one time because she was receiving a ticket from UAPD.
I guess that's a good thing. You do need to be aware, you know, but wow.
Yes.
Man, okay. Yes, I know. Sheena, I would never think that about you.
Well,
you were in deep thought, trying to do the right thing on the street, and not get hit by a car.
I was breaking the law.
You were,
so
yeah.
It was that concentration. But anyways, we won't be talking about that anymore today. But we've got to take a break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and we were discussing over the break Sheena's resting bee face. I'm just kidding. She does not have that. For those of you, if you ever see her with that, or myself, when we're deep in thought, sometimes our faces want to relax, and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody has the potential for a resting bee face.
Everybody. Yes, of course. I have a couple of very sweet students, and I don't think they ever frown, so I don't know. They're probably exempt. They haven't experienced life yet.
Yeah.
And so maybe. But anyway, so we're going to make up for a little lost time. We've had a couple of reruns at the start of the semester, but you know, this is Heart Health Awareness Month. We just want to bring all the good information to you guys in case you haven't been following along with, you know, the trends and things that are happening. But it's also Black History Month, and we like to honor our friends, our African-American friends, and talk about some fitness tips and things in relation to African-Americans. And then also it's Valentine's Day coming up. So like, we have a lot of stuff to talk about in the short amount of time that we have.
Yes, we do. And, you know, I think that with today's topic, as much of a potpourri or hodgepodge as it is, it all really interconnects. Because I know during the break, Whitney, you and I, we were talking about how, like, okay, we'll start this next segment talking about heart health. Mm-hmm. We talked a good bit about it last week, you know, as it correlates with those that have a lifestyle of gratitude tend to you know, fare a little bit better health-wise. But then when we start thinking about heart health and different risk factors and all those different things, one of the things that you had brought up, Whitney, that we wanted to make sure we made a connection with today was the fact that the African-American population does have a high prevalence for being susceptible to various forms of heart disease.
Yeah, and I just happened to get on the CDC because I was curious about, you know, just ethnicities and, you know, who is kind of on the top of the list, or what does that look like? And yeah, unfortunately, that is, I mean, it is the number one killer for all of us in the United States. But there was a higher prevalence in the African American community. And if we think about, you know, heart disease and things that relate to heart disease, it's high cholesterol and diabetes and just a lot of factors. So I did find this one thing. I'm trying to find in my notes really quickly. I might have to go to the good old internet. But, you know, the CDC has done a really good job and to bring light to this issue. And there is this Live to the Beat campaign. And I actually found it. And I actually didn't know anything about it. I'm actually going to look it up right now. I just realized I say actually a lot. it's kind of my word filler in case you're wondering. But Live to the Beat campaign is to bring some light to the topic of heart disease, specifically in African American communities, because I think that we know that there are a lot of disparities just in health and wellness in general. I think that now we're doing a lot better job as health professionals to be more inclusive and look at other races, ethnicities, and use our friends at the CDC to give us this information so that as we're programming things, I know Sheena with nutrition and with fitness, we can start to think a little bit more outside of the box. But let's see, I'm going to look it up really quickly. It might take me a second because I'm not very good at talking and texting, which is why you'll really never ever see me on my phone talking to people. But basically, the Millions of Hearts collaborated with the CDC Foundation to develop the Live to Beat campaign, which aims to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease among Black adults ages 35 to 54. So it encourages taking small steps to reduce the risk of hypertension, high cholesterol, and high blood sugar. So I thought this was really cool because they have some user-friendly resources, some videos, just some PSA announcements, just so that you're kind of not alone, because I know that sometimes sometimes if we are at risk at something, it's nice to know that, you know, you can have these resources to go to and to, you know, see people like you and the same in a community of people striving for the same thing. So I thought that was kind of cool. I had actually never heard of it before. I felt kind of bad. But as I do my research for anything, it always like opens up the rabbit hole, Sheena, if you will, of finding out more about, you know, risk and populations. And I will say this was kind of interesting. Yes, diabetes, being overweight, and diet and inactivity plays a role with that. But also, you know, cancer was second for our African-American community. And then breast cancer for women was the third. And mm-hmm. so I was like, man, I mean, it's interesting to look at for everybody. But I think just from those numbers of what the CDC has reported, it is an issue in that community. I think it's worth, you know, making those healthy steps and starting, you know, starting the Live to, Live to the Beat campaign, which was pretty cool. So
yeah, and I love that. And, you know, I think, Whitney, you just acknowledged this a little bit earlier, but when we think about the African-American population being more susceptible mm-hmm. to some of these chronic disease conditions, it's very multifaceted because I think that, you know, we might want to make an assumption that, oh, it's diet quality. And there is that component, but then mm-hmm. it's also access to healthcare
sure.
and early prevention, things of that mm-hmm. nature. One thing that I have noticed, at least in my profession of dietetics, so first I will say that the profession of dietetics, there's only probably 2.6% of dietitians, at least in the U.S., mm-hmm. that are of African-American descent.
Interesting.
Which is really important to recognize just because dietitians have just predominantly been white females mm-hmm. over time. You know, mm-hmm. men are a minority. Asians, as myself, were a minority. But there has been, you know, just a push to really diversify mm-hmm. the profession. And I think that's important because what you're noticing with African-American dietitians, and especially as it relates to educating those in the community about having a heart-healthy lifestyle, mm-hmm. is that I think that there has been a little bit of an issue with those that are part of the African-American population feeling like dietitians in general are trying to quote-unquote whitewash their cultural foods. Mm. So basically saying, oh, well, in order for you to have a healthy lifestyle, mm-hmm. you can't eat these you know, culturally significant mm-hmm. foods. Like, don't eat your collards anymore. Don't, mm-hmm. you know, don't season this mm-hmm. way. And so I think that's really where we have to have that message of moderation mm-hmm. so it doesn't feel like there's a cultural attack too. And I thought that mm-hmm. was really interesting.
Yeah, that is cool. And also I was just thinking a funny story I'll tell you about my mother-in-law here in a second, but I was just thinking, you know, it's interesting that you say that because yes, it is culturally, but it's also generational because mm-hmm. I know even, you know, just for myself, how my grandmother cooks being 86 years old is very different than like even how my mom cooks and like her thoughts about what goes into food. And it's very different because I'm a vegetarian and I'm like basically the black sheep of the family that I can't believe I don't eat meat and how I'm still alive. But it's interesting to think, and it goes back to my my mother-in-law who's Vietnamese. Just her understanding of food was kind of funny too, because when my father-in-law had some heart issues going on, the doctor asked my mother-in-law like, well, what are you cooking him? And she goes, oh, well, I'm feeding him really healthy. I'm feeding him bacon, you know, because in her mind, it was like a very Southern soul food type of ingredient. And the doctor was like, well, there's a lot of salt in it, a lot of fat. And so sometimes it's maybe like not like seeing different ways to prepare a meal, but you're right, not taking away that cultural significance. Because coming from an Italian background, if you ever took away my cheeses, oh my gosh, yeah, it would yeah. be on. But I mean, that's a really good point to bring mm-hmm. up, because I think learning how to eat differently and healthy, you just don't want it to change your cultural roots. And I find that like as I watch Food Network and things like that, I'm seeing that it's like the forefront now. It's like, how can we elevate foods and make it healthy but still keep a traditional value to it?
Yeah, because yeah. I think foods and recipes, they're storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of family history that's there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of community that's there. And I know in just a little bit, we'll be taking a break and we'll have a continuation of this conversation, but even just going back to really having more diversity within different health professions, mm-hmm. one thing that is so beneficial to that is that then you have patients who maybe feel more comfortable with mm-hmm. a healthcare practitioner that looks like them or maybe sure. has a similar lived-in experience. And so that was, there's an organization that I'll talk about again after the break called Diversified Dietetics. Mm-hmm. And one of their main things was really wanting to help diversify the dietitian career so that many of these patients that we see that are minorities of color, mm-hmm. they're mm-hmm. going to get to have the opportunity to interact with practitioners yep. that look like them, maybe have the same experience, and then maybe feel a little bit more comfortable sharing their yeah. story. So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
I think it's great. I think we're ready for a break, so I'm ready to get into it.
That sounds perfect. Okay, you guys, grab a drink of water, do what you got to do. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and we are having some amazing conversations because we're talking about our hearts and gratitude, but also honoring Black History Month and later Valentine's Day. Just kind of a lot to jam pack in, but hopefully you guys had your sip of water as Sheena directed you to before the break.
Yes, and I think there was. So let me say as an aside, one of the reasons, I tell y'all to drink your water a lot during the break, but I have been trying to challenge myself to drink a little bit more water recently.
Nice.
And Whitney, I know that you are not on social media mm-hmm, right mm-hmm. now, but one of the things that has been very trendy mm-hmm. have been these Stanley cups.
Oh, I have seen them at the rec center.
So, yes. So, I don't have one of those. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to spend the money on that.
Right.
You know, as much as I would love to have a cup with a handle. And
sure.
It can be very easy for me to convince myself to buy something I really don't need.
Yeah.
But I was at my parents' house this past weekend. And they had a Yeti cup that had a handle and a thing for a straw.
Yeah.
It's only 20 ounces instead of the 40 ounces. So I was like, I'll use this. It has a handle. Let
yeah.
me take this for a test
yeah.
run. And it's actually given me more of a reason to get up, to fill my cup, get some steps.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm still hydrating. I'm
yeah.
just having to refill a little more frequently. I'm at 100 or 120 ounces right now.
All right.
And so I think just the fact that I'm like, I might need to pee. I was like,
I know.
Tell the listeners to drink their water.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, those Stanley cups are crazy. One girl knocked over one when I was teaching a Pilates class, and I was like, whoops, Stanley cup down. And I'd like the whole room laughed because uh-huh. literally it was like a room full of Stanley cups. But anyway.
Yes. Okay, sorry for that.
Sorry, we're yeah. back on track. We're back on track. But Sheena, before the break, you were talking to us about this Diversify initiative.
Yes.
With the dietetics, with like nutrition.
Yes. So there was an organization that was started a few years ago called Diversify Dietetics. One of the co-founders, her name is Tamara Melton.
Mm-hmm.
She is fantastic and has really just aimed to get some leaders at the forefront that are of the BIPOC community so that they can really mentor dietetic students who are also fellow minorities.
Mm-hmm.
In Tamara's practice, I believe she also exclusively sees women of color and specializes
mm-hmm.
in that. And
mm-hmm.
I think that makes her a very attractive practitioner for that community because it's like, wow, she understands, you know, what I may be going through, what kind of health issues mm-hmm. I may be going through. And so I just thought that was really, really neat. And one fun fact mm-hmm. that I will say, you know, as Whitney, I know you and I, we were kind of collecting our notes
mm-hmm.
of folks of significance within our industry that are African American. But Dr. Evelyn Creighton, she
mm-hmm.
is a retired professor at Auburn. She's
mm-hmm.
a registered dietitian. And back in, I believe it was the 2015-2016 era, she was president of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
Wow.
So for the whole country, it was the first African American
oh, wow.
to be in that position.
That's amazing.
And I've gotten to interact with her several times. We're actually really close. And it's just so cool that she is from Alabama.
That's pretty cool and like a celebrity in like our field. You know
yes.
what I mean? Like we would understand that, you know, I just think that's so cool.
Yes. So I every time I see her, I'm like, I have to have my fangirl moment.
With yeah.
Like, selfie. So cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyways, just had to give her
no,
a shout
I think,
out.
I think that's awesome. You know, Sheena, this kind of got me thinking about my world when I teach Pilates, when I teach yoga, because I'm just going to be real. I mean, it's like the trend that's going on right now in TikTok is like that girl, whatever that trend is. Apparently, everybody wants to like come do Pilates now. But I have started to see a shift and a trend at the rec center for Pilates where we are getting more African-American female students. It's actually been really cool because Pilates has always been that super, you know, white dominated female type of, you know, I guess exercise, or if you're a dancer. I'm not saying that like African-American people don't do Pilates, but I have started to see an increase in that. And one thing that's really cool about that, when I have conversations with these students, and it kind of goes back to like the eating as well, it's a new generation of students mm-hmm. that are learning health and wellness, and they're seeing it from kind of their own lens. And they do have, you know, influences from, of course, their families, but they're kind of taking their health into their own hands, which I think is really cool. And I have noticed in my Mat Pilates classes, I have a really good following and really good diversity in that class, and we could continue to do better. But one thing I wanted to talk about, kind of somebody that I geek out about, of course, she's no longer with us anymore, unfortunately, but in the Pilates world, if you've ever, you know, gone to trainings or anything like that, Kathleen Stanford Grant, known as Kathy Grant, she's one of our quote unquote elders of Pilates, and mm-hmm. she was African American, and she was actually a dancer, and she was one of the first generation Pilates instructors. I believe she was the only one certified by Joe Pilates. She did like over 2,000 hours of direct training with Joseph Pilates and kind of created her own kind of style of Pilates. And it's really cool because Joe Pilates was a white male from Germany, and she is an African-American female that grew up dancing here. And she grew up, I mean, she was born, the timeline, I think she was born in 1921 possibly. So she's gone through some things in her life, you know, just with American history. But it's interesting to think that from her influence working the Tisch School of Arts and training retired dancers and working in Harlem, that she kind of created her own way of teaching Pilates, where she got really creative with certain exercises, and they're called like Kathy's fill in the blank. So like Kathy's cats, like if you do a cat cow, it's her take on a cat cow from her creativity and different ways to move your body. And from her, we have like heritage training for Pilates. So while Pilates can seem like a very white girl niche type of thing, it's actually been influenced heavily by Kathy Grant, who is African American, and I don't think a lot of people know that.
That is so
cool. Isn't that
cool? No, I think when we were preparing for today's show, when you were sharing some folks with me that we wanted to talk about, mm-hmm. One of the individuals that stood out to me was Billy Blanks.
Oh my gosh, can I just stop and talk about Mr. Billy Blanks
please,
for a second?
Please, please.
He's amazing. So I'll never forget, I was always a dancer, and growing up, I just like would do my own workouts and stuff, but I'll never forget getting a VHS tape of Billy Blanks and him doing Tai Bo. And I found this interesting article on yahoo.com that was just talking about Billy Blanks and his life. He talks about life isn't easy, but he, you know, worked hard to get to where he was and to dream big, and that you can do, you know, what you want to do. And there was somewhere in this article that said, oh no, it was the top of the article. It said, Tai Bo creator Billy Blanks at 67 was once told he wouldn't appeal to white women. And I find it hilarious because he literally, that's the only type of people that really actually bought his videos at that time. And all the women in the video were like white women. I thought that was the funniest thing.
Oh, no. My mother-in-law?
Yeah.
Like, her email address has the words Tai Bo Lady in there.
Oh, my
like
gosh.
So she's a believer.
He was,
you know,
awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he created that trend of, like, karate, like martial arts, and dancing and aerobics, and called it Tai Bo, and mm-hmm. that's what he did.
Yeah, because wasn't Tai, like, that was like the Korean word for like leg,
yeah,
or kicking,
yeah,
or something.
And Bo was like boxing or punching. Yeah, I mean, they were great workouts, and I don't know if a lot of people even, I mean, if you're our age, you know Billy Blanks, mm-hmm. and if you're older, you know him, but like our younger generations, you could do a workout video now. I think I still have his VHS tapes, and yeah. they were just amazing and innovative, and he was so uplifting, and I don't know. know. Maybe that's why I started teaching fitness, Billy Blanks.
Maybe so.
Who would have known? But anyway, I just thought that he was awesome. And I know we're going to come up on a break soon, but as I was thinking about fitness people, you know, I don't have a Peloton. I don't really watch the Peloton apps, but I was doing some research of some current people that our listeners may listen to. Dr. Chelsea Jackson Roberts, you know, she does yoga classes for Peloton. I started looking at her stuff, and she's just an amazing spirit for like a yoga community and bringing diversity and getting, you know, a comfortable space for, you know, African American students to practice yoga. And she just, I watched some of her YouTube videos, and she has such a calming, engaging spirit that like I might have to go buy a Peloton app now because she was just great.
Well,
I'm telling you.
I've been so tempted to get a Peloton, so.
That's a whole nother story.
But we're going to take a break. When we get back, I want to talk about the Let's Move campaign.
Yeah.
For those of us that remember that. So
yeah.
Grab a sip of water, maybe use the restroom like I need to. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we're back here listening to Fit to Be Tied, celebrating all kinds of great things. I mean, we were talking about Billy Blanks, and he is the man. I absolutely love him. Shout out to Billy Blanks. But also the Let's Move campaign. I mean, that was how many years ago?
It launched in 2010.
Right.
Oh, my Lanta. How's that 13 years
ago? I don't know. Time flies.
So for listeners who may not be aware, but hopefully you guys are familiar with this. So the Let's Move campaign was started by First Lady Michelle Obama. And, you know, and really, I think the genesis for this was concern about the rise in obesity numbers in the childhood population. So a lot of this was twofold in terms of really putting some campaigns out there that influenced healthier eating, more accessibility to that, and then also getting families to be more active overall.
Yeah.
So I think that hits, you know, both of our bread and
it's
butter
perfect.
Items,
yeah.
which I really love. But I also, along with that, some folks may not know this, but in 2016, the Food and Drug Administration, with the influence of First Lady Obama, did an update or a recommended update to the Nutrition Facts label.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was suggested in 2016, and then your larger companies had to have the revamped Nutrition Facts label by January 2020, and then smaller companies had until January 2021. So if you were to Google that, you'll see some key differences with the Nutrition Facts label that's on food products.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the changes included making the calorie information larger and more obvious for consumers. They also made the serving size references more realistic to the portion that someone would actually eat. And then there was information that kind of explicitly indicated if a product had added sugars versus natural sugars. So there was a lot of positive influence that was there that I think really just to help the American consumer make better choices.
I love those changes. I specifically love the sugar because I feel like people, like knowing what's in there, but knowing what the addition is that they're putting in was eye-opening. And it just, I don't know, if you're having to look at those things, I felt that it made it so much easier to glance at it. And if you have an idea of your ballpark or knowing, like, I don't know, your calories for the day, if you're having to look into that, whether you're gaining, trying to gain weight or lose weight, it doesn't matter. It made it so much easier. I don't know why we've never done that before.
Yes.
Why it was so calculated. I don't know.
And it's so funny because if you were to look at the older Nutrition Facts label, if you go to the section that has where it lists carbohydrates, under it would put sugars and it would put the amount of grams, but no one would ever know where those sugars came from. And so I would have clients that say, oh, I don't eat yogurt because it's so high in sugar. And I'm like, well, let's look at the list of ingredients. Ingredients are listed in descending order by weight. So if we're looking at that label and the first two or three ingredients say milk, frozen strawberries, and we don't see words like high fructose corn syrup or table sugar, whatever else, you can count on the fact that those sugars came from natural sources. So that was kind of my hack back in the day before that was explicitly there because I had people unnecessarily really avoiding really good foods,
right?
Like yogurt, or even if they were tracking their nutrition on MyFitnessPal, if they really enjoyed having fruit. Mm-hmm. They would go in the red, quote unquote, mm-hmm. on their sugar. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of misleading because, like, yeah. here I am as a dietitian being like, no, 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 fruit is great for you. It has all these wonderful vitamins and minerals and yeah. antioxidants. But then my fitness pal is telling them, well, you're going to go to hell.
Yes. Right.
Your sugars are in the
red. No, I love that. I love that so much because I think it gave reading a label, like you could take a breath. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't because some people do have to relabel. Some people, you know, are having to keep track of that. And some people, unfortunately, have disordered eating. And, mm-hmm. and it's just, I feel like it's a good way for you to be able to explain it better to them. And I know for me, if I can glance at what I want to see, which is, you know, I look at sugar a lot more, just the additive sugar. I just don't want it, you know. And I feel yeah. like if something on the food label can tell me that, oh, yeah, if it doesn't have any added sugar, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
Yogurt's great. I started eating yogurt lately because we're getting on this kick of, like, probiotics because, uh-huh. I mean, I love kombucha and all the fun stuff like that. But, like, I've never been, like, really a yogurt eater. But then I kind of found, like, Chobani, and I was like, oh, it's pretty good. It's got a little fruit in there. It probably has a little added sugar to it. But it tastes good. So there you go. I was just looking on the website for Let's Move, looking at the physical activity, uh-huh. which we know is an issue, and we need to be moving our bodies to decrease the risk of heart disease. Not that you really have to think about worrying about it when you're a kid, but unfortunately, childhood obesity is a thing. And it was talking about how an average of 7.5 hours a day are for entertainment. So, like, if you are watching TV, if you're on your cell phones and movies and stuff like that, I mean, I would assume it's probably even more than that.
Yeah. And you know? I feel like we were probably that last generation mm-hmm. that spent a lot of time outside where, mm-hmm. you know, after school, it's like, okay, let me go do something in the backyard. You know, I'm grateful for the technology of video games and whatnot.
Sure.
But yeah, kids just, you know, they're not getting to enjoy the fun of having a treehouse mm-hmm. or building a fort outside or just mm-hmm. going in their neighborhood and riding a bike. You know, I feel like we have all of these awesome communities that are being built, but what kind of walkability do we yeah. have? You know, is it safe? You know, and then if you maybe are a family that is living in more of an apartment community,
sure.
is that conducive to mm-hmm. being physically active outside because you don't have a private backyard? Like, there's mm-hmm. all these different things. And so so that's always been very interesting
yeah.
to me.
Yeah, a little bit of physical activity and less screen time can really go a long way. I mean, I always think about, like, when kids are outside being physically active, it teaches them the social skills. You're getting, you know, some sunshine, but also, like, kids want to drink, like, you know, sugar drinks, like, what do they call Capri Suns and stuff? But, like, I know when I was a kid, when I'd be playing outside and get hot and sweaty, the first thing I wanted was, like, water. Like, just go drink water.
Yeah,
and
go so turn it, on the water
yeah,
hose.
Yeah, go turn on the water hose. I was just thinking, I was like, okay, am I, like, totally outing myself yeah. as a redneck? Like, let me get the water hose. But, I mean, it worked and it was good. So I think that a lot of these initiatives have been super helpful. And I just, you know, I really am thankful for our leaders in our African-American community in health and fitness. And that's just literally like the tip of the iceberg of people that we're naming that have contributed and had given us, you know, things to look forward to, whether it's a class at the gym or going to meet your dietitian. You're not worried about, are they going to relate to me? So I think it's some pioneers here for sure.
Definitely. And yeah. I think that, you know, every time we celebrate Black History Month, it gives us even more of a reason to learn about, and I'm going to use the word influencers here.
Yeah.
And that's a yeah. good segue. I know during the break, Whitney and I, we were talking about how we were doing our research for today's show. And when we were searching for nutrition or physical activity professionals, yeah. mm-hmm. the search automatically goes to the word influencers.
Yeah. And I don't know. I like it and I don't like it. I like mm-hmm. it in the sense that if you are influencing people in positive ways, and you have the credentials, that's great. But if you're just a TikTok star telling people how to eat and prepare things, it makes me a little weary of the term influencer. So that's just kind of my little, like, as you're doing your Google searches for professionals, make sure that they have, you know, the certification that they have. And we say that all the time. But,
yes.
like, influencer, it's good to be influenced positively by somebody, but they got to have the credentials, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if you're getting your fitness and nutrition advice from someone who has become an influencer because they were a contestant on like The Bachelor.
Or oh yeah, you're reality right. show.
And you know, all of a sudden you see them giving out this info, yep. and you know they're using like hashtag sponsored or hashtag ad, and it's like,
yeah, reevaluate.
I don't remember reading that they were a dietitian. Man, they went on The Bachelor.
The
like,
world we live
going
in
on with that.
It's crazy.
I know. Well, if you're okay with it,
sure.
Let's take a break, and then we're gonna end the show. I want to circle back to Valentine's
Day. Yes, for a
second.
Of course.
For
yes.
some specific relevance, but grab a drink of water, use the restroom. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and for listening to our show today. And man, we've packed it all in like we always do with like 5,000 topics, but just kidding, just three. But yeah, Sheena, you wanted to talk a little bit about Valentine's Day since literally it's 2 days away.
Yes. Okay. So I wanted to bring it back up. I know last week we talked about heart health
yeah.
and gratitude and how there can be a health benefit of being a gracious person.
Yeah, sure.
Full of gratitude.
Grateful person.
Yeah, grateful. Yeah. Yes. That's the word I want to use. So apparently having significant relationships in your life can also help with your heart health. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that that was really interesting. And a lot of it is multifaceted. So for one, if you do have a relationship with a significant other, or I would even say just a good social support system, you know, you're going to have those go-to people when you're stressed out. You're going to be able to feel like there is trust and security there, to be able to confide in that person. It's a natural stress reliever. One of the things that I also noticed was that it recommended hugging it out for better heart health. And it says that when you hug someone, your body releases the hormone oxytocin. And so there's just a lot of stress relief that happens there, lowered blood pressure. And, you know, as I was reading this, I was thinking, I was like, I have to ask Whitney, are you a hugger? Like, do you like hugs?
I don't like hugs. I mean, obviously from my husband and like from my family, but I do like touching in a way that's like a shoulder or like a pat or like that sometimes means more because it's sort of indirect. And like when I'm actually working with my clients one-on-one for Pilates, I make a point to touch them and pat them and say good job, because some of them I work, like I have one client that she's not from this country and she's far from her husband, and like she may not get any human touch at all. So I try to, and it's very up close in what I do anyway, that I try to make it a comfortable situation that like I almost prefer like a good pat or like you know, just something like that, then rather than a hug, because that's like a little too close. I'm like, call me an American, okay? That's like a little like too close. But but what about you, Sheena? Are you a hugger?
It depends on the person.
I agree with that.
You know, like obviously could hug my husband all day long.
Sure.
Love me some snuggles. Some snuggles and hugs with my kids. But unfortunately, hugs can sometimes give the creepiness factor when like somebody is doing it and I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know you that well.
Yeah.
But no, yes, but I am a big fan of physical touch in general.
Yeah.
You know, I think there have been so many research studies that indicate that there's just something that changes in our brain chemicals and our mood when there is that sensation of physical touch. And you know, even when you're thinking about something like pet therapy, where you're, you know, getting to love on another living being.
Yeah.
Things of that nature. But, you know, thinking about love languages in general, I know there's touch and words of affirmation and quality time.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this before, and I know we're going to have to end the show in just a bit, but what is your love language? Like, how do you like to give love as a language, and how do you receive love as a language? What's that preferred?
Yeah, I'm definitely giving love. I'm a doer. Like, I am like, let me do this for you. Let me take care of this. Like, I am hands-on. I'm going to do it. I actually like that in return, because I feel like it doesn't like equalize the playing field, but it's like I'm not giving too much of myself, but I'm getting some things in return. My husband's great at that. Like, he'll just pick up on things, and I know I'm like pretty lucky, because like I feel like some wives would kind of be like, oh, well, he didn't do anything for me. But I also think it's like a mutual like thought of how you put it out there, you know? And so I'm more like a doer. Think you don't buy me anything. Materialistic things and money do not have any place for me. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I'm just like, what's the Beatles song? Can't buy me love.
Yes,
literally you can't buy me love. But anyway, Sheena, what are yours?
So I would say my husband likes to give it through through being a doer task, and I can appreciate that. Sometimes I would prefer some like physical touch or words of affirmation, and I think that I think my giving is task and words of affirmation.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I feel like me and you and our husbands and probably just Americans in general are probably more doers than anything, that I feel like we could all kind of task ourselves with being more positive with words of affirmation to people and our loved ones, and also physical touch. I think we could all do a better job of that.
I think so too.
Yeah, with it not being creepy.
Yes, yes. So that's our PSA there. But we've had a wonderful, fabulous show, as always, as we giggle as we go out there.
Right.
But we hope y'all have a fabulous Valentine's Day, and we will catch you next time. You've been listening to Fit to Be Time with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.